Well, today is a special day. It's called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. Amen. You know, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. So we're going to look at the triumphal entry of Jesus. We'll go to Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. Mark 11, number 1, verse number 1. It says this: "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has set. Loose it and bring it. If anyone says to you, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here.' So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, loosing the colt?' And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let him go." Obviously, they're the ultimate name droppers. They dropped Jesus' name and let him go. "Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches or palms from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So Jesus came in riding on a donkey, and here were all these people, you know, putting down clothes and palm leaves and crying out, "Hosanna to the highest." You know, is it pretty interesting, because they did this on Palm Sunday. A few days later, the same people are crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." You know, I guess some people change their mind pretty quickly based upon undue influence. But you know, when we look here at Palm Sunday, you know, many people want to know, what does the palm tree, what do the branches represent? You know, because many folks here, especially if you live in Oklahoma, we don't have palm trees, if you haven't noticed. Some of you who are here for college weekend, maybe you're from an area of the country who has palm trees, and you show up in Oklahoma, and we do not have palm trees. I actually tried to grow a palm tree one time here in Oklahoma. It didn't make it through the winter, but anyway. I planted it from Hawaii, so didn't really work. Anyway, so why do people wave palm branches and place them at the feet of Jesus' colt? No doubt in Palestine, where Jesus ministered, there were plenty of palm trees scattered throughout the land. But what was the meaning of using the palm trees? According to Easton's Bible Dictionary, the branches and trees actually have a significant meaning. People just didn't grab whatever leaves they could find for no reason. So there was a reason they actually grabbed the palm branches. Revelation 7:9 says this, says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." Its branches are a symbol of victory. All right, rising with slender stems, 40 or 50, at times even 80 feet aloft, its only branches, the feathery snow-like pale green fronds, whatever that word is, from 6 to 12 feet long. So the branches can be from 6 to 12 feet long. Bleeding from its top, the palm attracts the eye wherever it's seen. The whole land of Palestine was called by the Greeks and Romans Phoenicia, the land of palms. The Jewish people wanted victory, victory over the Romans who invaded their land. Jesus did come to enact a victory, but not quite the one they had in mind. When we use palm branches in our services, we can remember how Jesus conquered death for us to have a chance of salvation through him. You know, the Jewish people wanted victory, and they got victory, just not the kind of victory they wanted. They wanted victory over the Romans. They didn't want to be ruled by the Romans anymore, but what Jesus gave them was much better. You see, we don't have to be ruled by Satan anymore, which is much better than the Romans. So Jesus came to carry out the ultimate victory, whether they wanted it or not. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's pretty ironic, like I said, that they changed their mind in a few days. But, I mean, you know, that was biblical. I mean, Jesus had to be crucified, or we wouldn't have had our salvation. So it was pretty important. But now a lot of people want to know, why did Jesus ride a donkey? I mean, you know, the donkey's not really the most elaborate animal to ride. I mean, if you were going to be a triumphant king riding in your glory, you wouldn't pick a donkey. Especially you wouldn't pick a young donkey. Especially you wouldn't pick one that says that nobody has ever rode the donkey. Now, I'm not a cowboy. I like the cowboys. Both college and professional, Dallas Cowboys and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And one of these years, we're going to see Dallas win another Super Bowl. In my lifetime, okay? Maybe we should throw some palm branches. Maybe that would help. That's what we should do. Game one, we should have palm branches go out, because that's a symbol of victory, right? You know, before they show up, all right? I'm not sure if that worked. Maybe drafting the right people or finding a new owner might actually help as well. Anyway, on that, why did Jesus ride a donkey? It has nothing to do with Dallas Cowboys, by the way. If you have your Bibles, turn to probably a worn-out section of your Bible, Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. I know many people quote, you know, Zechariah. In fact, I'm sure the only other time the book of Zechariah has probably ever been quoted from this stage was on a Palm Sunday. All right, Zechariah 9:9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So why did Jesus ride a donkey? Jesus rode a donkey on Palm Sunday as a symbolic fulfillment of a prophecy and declaration of his true mission. The act fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, which prophesied that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. By doing this, Jesus publicly announced that he was the long-awaited king, but not in the way many expected. In ancient times, rulers rode horses into battle, but a donkey symbolized peace. Jesus did not come as a warrior to overthrow Rome. Instead, he came as a humble king to bring salvation to all of mankind. Jesus didn't come to rule and reign over us. He came to bring us peace. All right, he does rule and reign, but you know, the donkey also reflected Jesus' humility and servanthood. Unlike the powerful image of a war horse, a donkey was a simple, everyday animal used by common people. This choice emphasized that his kingdom was not about earthly power, but about love, sacrifice, and redemption. As he entered Jerusalem, the crowd laid branches and cloaks before him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They welcomed him as a king, but many misunderstood his purpose, expecting a political savior rather than one who would die for their sins. You know, it is interesting that he did ride a donkey, a lowly old animal, just a commonplace animal. And, you know, we'll get to one of the reasons why a commonplace animal probably is the right thing. The symbolism of a donkey may also refer to the Eastern tradition that is the animal of peace. Unlike the horse, which is the animal of war, a king would have ridden a horse which was bent on war, and ridden a donkey to symbolize his arrival in peace. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem would just have symbolized his entry as the Prince of Peace, not as a war-waging king. Thus, there we have been two different meanings for more of a level of biblical hermeneutics, or historical meaning truly happening according to the Gospels, and a secondary meaning in the symbolism that it shows. So Jesus came on a lowly old donkey, not to be, you know, put apart as a king. But today we're going to look at three lessons we can learn from a donkey. Now, Balaam, back in the Old Testament, you know, he learned a few things from a donkey. But today we can find some things that we can learn for a donkey. First of all, the donkey was available. You know, whenever God is calling us, we need to be ready, willing, and available at any point in time. You know, first, this little donkey, he was available to be used. Jesus knew the colt was there because he sent his disciples to that particular place. And when the animal's owners were told the master was in need of the donkey, they were willing to let him go. But the donkey was also willing too. You know, Mark's gospel says that no man has ever sat on his back. He was unbroken, untamed, untrained, but was available. It's interesting that Jesus didn't choose a larger, better qualified animal to carry him, a spirited riding horse, or at least the mother of the colt. You know, an older donkey that, you know, maybe had been ridden before. Why did he ask for such a humble little animal? You know, you want to think? I think the reason is to show us that the Lord can use the small things. He can use the small things. Even the people who are, quote unquote, untrained, never been used by God before. You know, it's not whether you've been used by God before. It's whether you're willing, able, and available to be used by God. You know, and it is interesting. Like I said, he chose a lowly old donkey to signify, you know what? He can choose a lowly old person like us. It doesn't matter what you have accomplished in life, because God's not looking for the one who's accomplished everything in life. He's looking for the person who's available and ready and willing to be used by him in whatever he wants you to do. You know, because if you're not available, then you can't do what God wants you to do. And so it is interesting. He chose this humble little animal, saying that God can use the small things. It is interesting to see, you know, obviously we just got back from the a number of groups actually go on a missions trip every March, during the spring break time. We always take a number of students and slash church members on a missions trip. And it's awesome to see sometimes some of your, you know, students, especially we might say the first year students that basically, you know, haven't really had an opportunity to preach much or anything, because in first year, you don't even get a chance to preach in lab class. All right, then you go out and they minister to people and they're like, I can't believe that person got healed. So it wasn't their faith, by the way. But the point is that, you know what? It doesn't matter how trained or untrained you are. God can use you if you're willing. And God can use you to change somebody else's life. But you got to be available. You know, some people, what do they say? Emotionally unavailable? Maybe they're physically there, but emotionally they're not. I mean, you got to be available at all times. You know, all right, you know, one doesn't have to have a great voice to sing God's praises. You know, the Bible says to make a joyful noise. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to put you on the praise and worship team. All right, sometimes you might need to sing to yourself or sing in your shower or whatever, but you can still praise God whether you can sing good or not. You can still sing his praises. You know, you don't have to be the most trained person to be able to win somebody to Jesus. You don't have to have all the things. You don't have to speak the right way or do things. You know, some people think, well, once I learn all the stuff, then I'll be available. No, you need to be available and let Jesus Christ give you the stuff. All right? You know, some people say, well, I don't have a way with words or whatever. But you know what? It's interesting how the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you and give you the words to speak to the people that need them. You know, and you never know. The people you work with, the people, you know, your neighbors that you live around, you know, some of them, they're looking for somebody to help them through the situation, and God can use you. Sometimes just being nice, sometimes just being friendly is enough. Sometimes people just need someone to smile at them and say hi because they feel, you know, unworthy or whatever. So always be available. Are you available? Are you willing to do what you can for the Lord, however small your talents and abilities seem to you? There is something you can do. God has given each of us, you know, gifts to use in his service. But we have to be available. You know, had the little colt be hidden away where disciples couldn't find him, he would have missed out, you know, being part of this triumphal entry. If he wasn't there, maybe another colt was there. You know, some of you might remember the story about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins that had been invited to the marriage supper. When the bridegroom came, the five foolish virgins had to go, you know, their wicks had died out and they had to go get more. So they weren't there. They were not available to go into the wedding. How many times do you and I miss out on God's great blessing simply because we're not available when the Lord desires to use us? Always be willing to be available at any point in time. Secondly, we can learn from the donkey. The donkey was submissive. You know, I don't know much about farm animals or riding animals, but I have been told that horses, mules, and donkeys have to be broken. And the way I understand, you know, donkeys are very stubborn. They're not the easiest thing to break, they say, you know. You know, this is a little donkey, so it doesn't really want, you know, someone to ride him on, you know, on the back. So it says that no man had ever, you know, this wild little donkey had never been ridden before. An animal has to be trained. It says, have to learn to accept the burdens of a rider and to respond to his direction and guidance. And not only, it's one thing to get on top of a donkey and take a selfie. It's another thing to get on top of a donkey and get him to go. You know, have you seen that, not with donkeys or whatever, maybe a TV show or whatever, someone sits on top of a horse and they're trying to get the horse to go. Finally, they slap him on the butt and the horse just takes off, goes wherever he wants to go. You know, but Jesus rode this donkey in a manner that he needed to ride the donkey, even though the donkey had never been ridden before. But you know what? The donkey was submissive to do what Jesus asked him to do, even though it wasn't something that he was used to, even though he was untrained, you know. And not just he's untrained, you realize that when an animal is used to its owner, you know, that's one thing. The two disciples who got the donkey, they're strangers. Jesus obviously was a stranger. So not only that, I mean, think about this donkey was taken away from his mother, taken away from his owner, given to strangers to go through a procession. And, you know, it wouldn't be something in the natural that would be normal. I mean, it wouldn't be normal for a donkey to be able to do that. In fact, most donkeys probably wouldn't have even gone. They probably would have tried to buck Jesus, you know, off. He'd never ridden. But when the disciples brought the donkey back to Jesus, it said to put a cloak on his back for a saddle. So it wasn't even a real saddle, all right? But he was submissive. There's no record in the scripture that he protested, bucked, or rebelled. You know, he couldn't have known what was happening or what was ahead. One moment he was standing peacefully at his mother's side. The next he was dragged away and a heavy burden was put upon him. And as far as we can tell, the little donkey submitted to these strange events without a fuss. How often do we balk and buck when we are asked to carry out some assignment by God? You know, some burden, say, well, why me, Lord? Can't you find somebody else? Or, you know, there's sometimes people cry out, you know, use me, Lord, use me. And then when the Lord wants to use you, like, no, I mean, you know, that's just too hard. I can't do that. I mean, you know, find someone else. So often we hold back until we can see the end from the beginning, you know, we want to see what the outcome is going to be. So, if we say this, what are they going to say back or whatever? We want to see the light at the end of the tunnel before we go into it. We want to understand everything happening in our life before we submit to it. But that's not the way life works. Submission is more than agreeing just with what we understand and approve. You know, how proud and presumption is to say, show me your will for my life. Then if I like it, I'll do it. God doesn't say, you know, say, well, he's going to show you as long as you like it, you know, you want to do it. But you know, many people didn't like the things that God told them to do. Anyone ever heard the story about Jonah? We call it Jonah and the whale because the Bible says a big fish and a whale's a mammal. But anyway, Jonah and the whale, he ended up in the whale because he didn't want to do what God called him to do. Because he didn't know what was going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up in a whale's belly. That kind of sounds pretty gross. Who knows what else is in that whale's belly? But, the Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due times. You know, a lot of times, you know, we might be willing to stand in front of somebody and talk to somebody, but we're not willing to clean the toilets. We're not willing to mow the grass. Do you realize if someone doesn't mow their grass in front of the church or do some kind of lawn care or some kind of landscaping, nobody's coming to your church. If in front of your church there's a bunch of weeds and things like that, so the person that mows the grass is pretty important because no one's going to come and hear the person behind the pulpit if someone's not going to mow the grass. Or has anyone ever walked into, you know, maybe a gas station restroom and it was pretty gross and, you know, anyone ever been there before? You know, you're like, man, you know, I don't even want to go to the bathroom in here. I mean, you know, a porta potty would have been better than this place. I mean, have you ever thought about that? So if we were to walk into the church, maybe we got in the church because things were, but we walked in the bathroom and it looked like a junk puddle and there was stuff all over. Or, you know, unfortunately, I was a youth minister for a long time, and sometimes you had to go during in the youth bathrooms. I mean, you know, some kids, probably junior hires, would decide that, you know, during service, they're going to fix the bathroom all up. You know, throw toilet paper all over the place or whatever. I mean, but if no one's going to maintain the bathroom, I mean, people are going to say, man, I don't want to go to church like this. They can't even clean their own toilets. But if someone's not willing to clean the toilets, you know, if you're not willing to clean the toilets, you're not willing to stand in front of the audience either. You know, the Bible says he will exalt you in due season. You know, the deal is something, you know, we all want to have a really good job. Although you realize that public speaking is the number one fear in life. It's not that easy to stand in front of people and talk. Except for me and Dad, we'll talk to a wall, so it doesn't really matter. Whether you're here or not. Actually, I'm better at talking to no one than Dad. We found that out during COVID. Dad didn't like to talk to nobody. I don't care. I'll talk to the wall. You know, it doesn't matter. Because see, I did a lot of youth ministry. You realize youth don't respond to nothing. It's actually probably better to have empty seats than it is youth. At least you don't get distracted by whatever they're doing because they're not listening, you know, something like that. Also, I did a number of times at healing school. Now we would have prayer school, and we have 300 people at prayer school. In the same room, you know, that seats like 400 people, we would have 15 people come to healing school. You know, it's really hard, you know, it's pretty distracting when you have a place that seats 400 people and there's only 15 people there. Sounds like COVID. But anyway, it's a whole other thing, you know. So you get used to preaching to nobody. But you know, whatever God calls you to do, whether it's a big thing, whether it's a small thing, it's not whether you can do it, because you know what? You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. It's whether you're willing and available and just to do it. You know, when God leads us to do something for him, rather than worrying about being embarrassed or being put on the spot or even misunderstood or disliked by other people, we should submit immediately, trusting in him. We need to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we will obey blindly if need be. No matter what God asks, you know, we should be able to do it. This little donkey submitted to Jesus, and so should we. Even though it wasn't comfortable. Do you realize it's not comfortable when no one's ever ridden you to be able to, first of all, I mean, if no one's ever ridden the thing, I mean, they threw their cloaks on his back as a saddle. That probably was weird to him. Then Jesus sat on top of him, but he was submissive, willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. Thirdly, we can learn from a donkey. This donkey was unafraid. Now let's think about this. Can you imagine a more difficult and frightening time to be ridden for the first time ever that this colt experienced? He had no preparation, no training. He is snatched away from his mother by strangers. Another stranger gets on his back, and he bears his first burden through narrow streets crowded with excited shouting people, waving tree branches and clothing, crowding around him from every side. Such experience would be enough to excite any animal and make him nervous and skittish. But the little donkey didn't kick anybody and try to get away. He just kept going along and carrying Jesus the way he wanted to go. So think about that. I mean, that's probably a big miracle. You know, we don't think about this as a miracle in the Bible, but it's a miracle that a donkey that has never had anyone ever ridden him would let a stranger get on top of him. And then there's the streets, I mean, full of people yelling Hosanna to the highest, you know, dropping stuff on the, I mean, you know, your dog outside, you know, if the neighbors are doing something, whatever, I mean, they're going crazy and wild and what, even dogs that are not normally wild. I mean, you know, if you got 10 kids over there playing and things like that, you know, I mean, you know, they get a little distracted. But this donkey had a mission. And it was willing to do whatever the mission was, and it wasn't afraid. Because, I mean, most animals would be afraid, you know, someone said it this way. It says, I'm sure the Lord must have leaned over and whispered into the little animal, don't be afraid, don't fear, for I am with you. And in the most confusing circumstances with the press and the multitude all around, the colt kept calm and cool. He just kept on doing what he was supposed to do, going where he was supposed to go, because Jesus was with him. He was not afraid. But my friend, I'm telling you, the same Jesus that was with this little donkey that day is the same Jesus that is on the inside of you. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no reason to be afraid in any kind of circumstance, even if it's something new you've never done before, even if it's a situation or circumstance that other people would balk at, other people would be afraid. The Bible says, do not be afraid. Someone says 365 times. If that is true, there's one time for every day, except for leap year. So I guess on you can be afraid on, I'm just kidding, February 29th. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Now, it also says, the Bible says that every time an angel appeared to a human being, the first thing out of the angel's mouth was, do not be afraid. So what I'm telling you, be like a donkey. Do not be afraid no matter what. No matter your circumstances, no matter what's going through, because, you know, just like Jesus was riding this donkey, Jesus is with you in the middle of your situation. However hectic it might seem, however crazy it might seem, you know, whatever situation, he's there whispering, you know, and if you can't remember he's there, that's why we need to read the Word of God. We need to know that he's there on the inside. We need to know he's with us, that we can call upon his name at any point in time. You know, he's not a phone call away, folks. All you have to do is call upon his name. Sometimes, you know, you might not have time to have a whole, you know, prayer for 20 years or whatever. Sometimes the only thing you can call upon his name is just yell Jesus. You know, when I think about that, I think about the story that Dad tells, over whenever he was stationed in Taipei, Taiwan, riding a motorcycle. And he says, so your guys were going too fast around the corner? What was... And he says the motorcycle started sliding out from under, and he was headed to go off a cliff. How high was that cliff? 1,000 feet? 1,000-foot drop on the other side of the cliff. He didn't have time to say a prayer. He didn't have time to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't have time to give a $1,000 faith offering. All he had time was to yell the name Jesus. And at the mention of the name, Jesus is ready, willing, and available to help you in every situation. And he, if you read tell the story for some of you that haven't heard the story before, it says your wheel actually went over the edge, right? But something, you know, picked it up and saved him. You know what? That's just like Jesus. He's there to pick us up and save us in any kind of situation when things seem crazy, when things seem weird. You know, do not be afraid, for I am with you, the Lord says. You know, God's supreme sacrifice, Bible scholars tell us that there was great significance in Jesus' visit to Jerusalem at this time, just before the Passover sacrifice. The gate Jesus entered to reach the city was the one through which people brought in their sacrifices to the temple. No doubt the streets were full of sheep and lambs being led to the sacrificial altar. And here comes God's son riding on a donkey about ready to be offered up as a supreme sacrifice for the sins of the world. So because he was available, submissive, and unafraid, the little donkey played a key role in one of the most riveting events in all of history. Just because this donkey was there, he was available. He was submissive and unafraid. You know, once again, in Numbers chapter 22, we hear about, you know, a donkey talking to Balaam. I mean, you know, if this donkey could speak to us today, what do you think he would say? You know, like I said, in the Old Testament, Numbers 22 tells of Balaam's donkey who chided the prophet who rode him for opposing the will of God. The donkey saw what Balaam's spiritual blinded eyes did not see. The angel of the Lord with a drawn sword standing in his path. You know, if you listen very carefully with the ears of your heart, I think you can hear the little donkey's voice even now. He's saying, if God can use me, he can use you too. No one is too humble or insignificant to have a place in God's service. It doesn't matter how small you might be. It doesn't matter that how small and insignificant the devil tries to tell you you are. God can use you, and he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you, whether you're in this room or whether you're watching online. God wants to use you. He's willing to use you, and he's ready to use you in whatever he sounds like. You know, it might be a small thing. It might be a big thing, but you know what? There is a thing that God has to use you for. You know, just be available. Stay where the Lord can reach you. Keep an open heart, an open holy life. Then trust God enough to submit to him. Don't buck and kick against the unknown. Decide that the Lord knows what's best and simply do what he asks. He'll never steer you wrong. And last, you don't have to be afraid when Jesus is with you. His presence, his touch will calm your fears and keep you on track no matter what is going on around about you. Maybe you've never done anything great or accomplished very much before, but your life can be different if you're available, submissive, and unafraid. Who knows what you'll be chosen to do and how important it may be to the world. After all, you're even more important to God than a little donkey. And the very first time this donkey was ridden, he can say, I carried the king. But just like this little donkey carries the king, as you carry the king on the inside of you, you carry the Prince of Peace, the power on the inside. And it is our responsibility to carry our king to a lost and dying and hurting world. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And that is what we are called to do, is to preach the gospel to the world, whether the world means the world or the world means your world. Some people go to the world. I mean, I have an opportunity, and you know, and I feel, you know, God has led me to go to all the world. That's what the Bible says, go to all the world. But the thing about it is you have your world. What is your world? Your world is the people that you live around, the people you hang around with, the people you work with, the people, you know, that are always there in the restaurants that you go to. You realize we're creatures of habit. You probably go to the same restaurants probably weekly. I mean, I think all of us do. You know, but do you even know the people who work with you, you know, that work there or whatever? You know, one of the craziest things, you know, ever happened to me was that Walmart started closing at 11 o'clock. You say, well, that's, you know, who's awake past 11? Me and my mom. I've actually ran into my mom at Walmart 2 in the morning. Literally. You know, and the one thing I always wondered, and you know, what's interesting, if you're a creature of habit and you go to Walmart, you know, after midnight, you kind of get to meet the night crew. I mean, you might not know them, but I mean, there's one guy checking me out, his name is Bill. I mean, you know, he checked me out, and I'm wondering, what happened to Bill? When does he work now? I don't know. Billy might know. But, you know, it's like, you know, you kind of get used to the people you hang. But you know, the people that are there, maybe God might give a word for you, you know, even to speak to the people who work at Walmart. You never know how God might use you. You never know. You know, one time I was walking in the Walmart, and I'm just walking. I walk in Walmart a lot, by the way, just one time. And I'm walking, you know, down the thing, you know, headed to get my grocery. I have this deal. I mean, you know, I get the list. I map out in my head the most efficient way to buy all these things. I mean, one of the things I can't stand the most, if you go to a Walmart, you realize the pharmacy's on one side and the groceries are on the other side. One of the things that I can't stand is like, okay, if I decide to go to the pharmacy first, and I get stuff, you know, whatever, deodorant and toothpaste and stuff over there, and then I get back to the grocery side and I get a text, hey, can you go pick up, you know, I'm like, I've already passed that department. You're causing insufficiencies happen in my Walmart trip. But I, you know, my brain, and that's the thing, sometimes that we're so focused on what we need to do, we forget about people around about us. So I'm beelining it, you know, toward the groceries. Plus, this is after Walmart closes at 11, and it's probably like 10:20 or something like that. You don't know how many times I've actually been at Walmart when it closed. You know, I mean, I'm used to, you know, Walmart is closing in 5 minutes. Please make your last, you know, thing and get up here and checked out. So, because the registers are closing. I'm here to tell you that they're still open 15 minutes after they close because, in fact, I don't know why they don't stay open anyway. I checked my own self out. They're there anyway, restocking the shelf, so they should be stay open for me at least, if nothing else, you know. But anyway, I'm walking into Walmart, you know, just beelining there. All of a sudden, this lady's yelling, sir, sir, and she's following me on one of those carts. You know, one of those Walmart carts, you know, when you're people that have trouble walking, you know, and so, and she, this is what she says. She says, will you walk by me? And something on the inside says, I need to talk to that guy. And anyway, I was able to help a lady in Walmart because I was not too busy to not notice. And the thing about it is when I walked by the lady, you know, she chased after me. The Lord told her, you know what, and, you know, I was able to help her through a situation. She actually, her and her husband, they were travel ministers from Oklahoma City going through a situation or whatever, and I was able to help the lady because I was ready, willing, and able, even in Walmart. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. God wants to use you, and he's called you to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. So I want to urge you today, can you be like a donkey? Can you be available? Can you be submissive? And can you be not afraid to do whatever God wants you to do? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching online. But Father God, we just thank you that today we humble ourselves to and be willing to be able to do whatever you need us to do. Whether it's significant or insignificant, those things doesn't matter. We just thank you today that we have learned a few lessons from a donkey. And help us to be a donkey for Jesus in our life. Help us to understand that just like this donkey carried the one true king, that we carry the true king on the inside of us. And wherever we go, Jesus is with us at all points and times. Father God, we just thank you for it now. But as we pray here, maybe there's someone today that does not know your son Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They're not carrying the king because they don't know the king. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, you can this morning. If you're here and you say, I don't know Jesus, let's lift your hand right now. We want to make sure you don't leave this place this morning without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I've never been saved. You know, just going to church doesn't save you. My grandfather always talks about having what we call a know-so experience. If you don't know whether you've been saved or not today, this morning, you can know whether you're saved. So if you've never been saved or you don't know whether you've been saved, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that this is your day of salvation. Or maybe here this morning, you say, Brother Craig, I know what it is to be saved. I've walked with Jesus, but I've turned my back and I've went away and I've kind of doing things my way instead of God's way. But today, I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you across the auditorium, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If anyone here on any invitation, whether you want to be saved, whether you don't know whether you're saved or not, or you want to rededicate yourself to God, just lift your hand across this auditorium. We don't want to miss out anybody. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here under the sound of our voice. And if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. You have something you want to sing?
Hosanna in